is to come. I've heard testimonies. I've heard testimonies of folk when they were partaking of communion. Not with anything. No one shook them. No one talked in tongues over them. But just in the simple act of remembering and acknowledging and looking forward, God would bring about a work of healing, not just in physical bodies, but in emotions. And so we want to enjoy the Lord's communion together today. And we always want to include our children in this. We don't want to dismiss them yet, because we understand that if there's an acknowledgement and an ability for those children to know, they may not understand it at the level you do, but if there's an understanding among our children, Jesus died for me and I want to live for him, that's all that's required. You don't have to be a member of this church or any church. If you're a member of the body of Christ, we encourage you to enjoy communion with us this morning. Amen. Brother Bobby, you got some folks prepared to serve this morning? Praise the Lord. Amen. As they're gathering, I'll read a passage of scripture that's familiar to this particular setting. Luke chapter 22, verse 14 says this, "And when the hour was come, he sat down with the 12 apostles, and he said to them, with desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will no more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and he said, take this and divide it for yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took the bread, and he gave thanks, and he broke it, and he gave it to them, and he said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. The broken body, the shed blood." Now we understand that what we will receive this morning is a symbol. But oh, what a symbol it is. And oh, what it points us to, because of what he accomplished for us. We can enjoy the freedom that we sang about. No longer slaves to fear. No longer slaves to any kind of bondage or any kind of uncertainty. We can know that we can know. In Christ, we are secure. Amen. Men are passing among you today, make sure you take the element of the broken body and the element of the shed blood of Christ. We will enjoy together. Amen. Isn't God good? Oh, wow. I'll declare it. He's good and he's faithful and there's none like him. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Is there anyone that hasn't been served yet? Up in the sound booth. Make sure we get 10. Did you get yours, Doctor? Me either. Up here, brother. I'll let you go. Take care of Dr. Mike as well. Thank you. Oh, yes. The broken body. Everybody been served? The Bible says that symbolically Jesus took the bread and he broke it. He gave thanks and he broke it and it had distributed. That's symbolically what we've done here today. The broken body of Christ. Because of what he's done, we're free. Amen. 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 Thank you, men. God bless you. To love these servants of God. Amen. Thank the Lord. Everyone been served that would like to be served. All right. Let's hold together the symbol of the broken body of Christ. Father, today we want to thank you for giving your Son not only to live a perfect life, but to die a perfect death, that on our behalf, his brokenness became our wholeness. His torn body became our mended lives. And so, Lord, today, we thank you for what's been accomplished, for what you're currently doing, and for everything you shall do because of the broken body of Christ. And today, Lord, we receive together in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take together. And when that body was broken, blood was spilled. The scripture says, unless blood is poured out, without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness for sin. And it was either going to be him or you. It was either going to be him or me that paid the price for my sin. Aren't you glad he chose? And by the way, Jesus said, no man takes my life, I lay it down. They thought they were in charge. They thought they had a say-so. He laid his life down and poured out his blood, a ransom for many, a ransom for me. Aren't you thankful for the blood of Christ? Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you poured out your blood for us, and that through that shed blood, we find forgiveness. We find oneness, reconciliation with the Father. We thank you, Lord, that we're not only in relationship with the Father, but we're one with you. Thank you, Lord, for the forgiveness of sin. And the freedom from fear and bondage brought to us through the blood of Christ. And so today, Lord, we receive, we remember, we're thankful in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take together. Amen. Aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful? Amen. I'm thankful. Amen. Thank you, men. I appreciate your service to us. God bless you, brother. Amen. Hey, look, we're going to let the kids be dismissed. Is that what's going on? Kids dismissed? Yeah? Is that, you're doing that, Lisa? Yeah. All right, Miss Lisa's going to be working with our kids this morning. Amen. Thank God. Yeah, they're slow this morning, Lisa. Everybody's kind of slow moving. You're with them? Okay. Amen. Thank God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, I'm aware of some very specific needs and things that are taking place. I want to mention a few of those. Miss Berta, it's good to see you. Huh? No, she's not here? No. She's not here. I thought I saw her. No, okay. She's doing okay? She's doing better. Recovering? No complications? Praise the Lord. Amen. Pray for Bert. Amen. Angelina, she's not here either. Pray for her. She received a great report this week, by the way. They were doing some testing, and they found out there's no cancer. We thank God for that. Amen. But she is still recovering from, some other things that are going on. So I told her we'd pray for her this morning. If you'll notice, Rich and Adele are not with us this morning either. Adele is battling inner ear infection, which is causing some equilibrium and vertigo problems. And we pray for Adele this morning. Pray for Rich as he cares for her. Let's see, Mary. She's having shoulder issues. We'll pray for that. God can touch a shoulder, right? Amen. So we want to pray for Mary. See, when I do this, inevitably I'm going to forget somebody, and it's not on purpose, all right? Just thank you for allowing me to be human. I want to pray for Jason and Azadeh as well. They're preparing for their wedding. be in prayer for them, and it can be a stressful time. You know, you're trying to get everything in place and trying to make sure everything is perfect. And I was talking to those guys last Friday. Just go ahead and settle in your mind. It's not going to be perfect, but it'll be done. Right? But we do want to pray God's blessing. I know you had some other issues. I'll let you share that as you might want to, however you might want to. But just pray for Jason and for Adele. Sandy. Looking at some more surgery. Okay? God's got this. Amen? God's got this. We'll pray for Sandy today. I know I'm forgetting somebody. So this is your chance to bring us all up to speed. Anybody else got a special need this morning? Something you need God to do for you? Maybe someone you're praying for here. Anybody want to share something? We don't do this a lot, but sometimes we should do this. Yeah. Procedure on Tuesday. Amen. God's already on the other side of the solution. He's already on the other side of the recovery. Amen. He's going to meet you on the other side of the recovery. Amen. Anybody else? Doing okay, Kitty? I knew. Yeah. Free. Okay. Oh. Okay. Wow. You know, sometimes when we kind of spill out and share some of these needs, it can be a mixed bag. Because sometimes if we're not careful, we can find ourselves with each new request, we feel ourselves just a little bit more burdened, and just a little bit more heavy laden. But rather than taking that approach, I'd like for us to just, hey, let's just get it all out there. Let's just let everybody know how great our needs are. Because you know why? Because this is an opportunity for God to show himself to be greater than any situation we might face. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, today our hearts could easily be overwhelmed by the situations that we're facing. Some of us are facing personal issues. Some of us are burdened for someone else or some other thing. But Lord, today, we acknowledge your greatness. We acknowledge that there's nothing that has ever or will ever exceed your greatness. And so today, Lord, we bring all of our circumstances, every situation, every sickness, every deficiency, every need, every lack, every uncertainty, every bondage, everything, Lord, that seems to restrict us and not allow us to experience and to know your great provision. All of those things, God, we bring them to you because we know in your presence they must bow. They must bow. And so, Lord, for these needs that were mentioned by name and for the ones that we hold in the quietness of our heart that you know about, Lord, we give those to you today. And we step back and we watch you work. And Lord, as you work on our behalf, we will be careful. We will be mindful to give you thanks for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Hey, got a word this morning. Before we get into that, though, I do want to remind you of a few things. Is that all right? Do a little housekeeping before we get into it. Just let me say a big thank you. Couple of things I need to say thank you for. I'm thankful to Brother Tony. Bless you, brother. Brought the word a couple of weeks ago. And then last week, Brother Ben brought a powerful word as well. And then the Wednesday before, Brother Fred was overseeing our Wednesday night activities. Thank you guys for your understanding and your grace to allow me to travel as I need to. And thank you also for your blessing and your prayer for my wife. She joined me there for the last few days. Well, we had a blast. It was kind of a last-minute impromptu thing, but I don't know if she's going to let me get away with this or not, but I kind of wanted to sneak it in as a 25th anniversary thing as well. You might make me make that up a different way, but I'm going to stick with that. But thank you so much. You guys are so gracious. And it's such a blessing that I can know I can just step away and be gone and take care of those kinds of things, and the work of the Lord just goes right on. And it doesn't. You don't just have to limp by. You're not just scraping by, but you're able to do so with excellence. And I appreciate you guys allowing us that time away. The bulletin says that the Schwartzes will be having their community group tonight. That's not true. It was true when the bulletin was written, but these guys are going to need to postpone their community group tonight. Next week, you'll be meeting next week? Okay. So next week they'll be meeting. And by the way, the Mediger group will also be meeting next week. So if you got any questions, want to know anything about the community groups, just let us know. We can point you to the right people, make sure you're in the right place at the right time. All right, let's see. Ladies Bible study this Tuesday at 10. There's also a listing out there on the podium. You guys remember Pastor Rob, right? Pastor Rob and Sam. They were our previous youth pastors. He is serving overseas in the military, and he's got a list of things that he would appreciate that would be a blessing to him. Hand and foot warmers, Wild Bill's beef jerky. Now this one I've never heard of. Ranch dipped hot wing Doritos. I never even heard of that. That sounds yummy, doesn't it? So if you can find some of those, you can give some to him, and then I'll have to check that out too. Swiss cake rolls, oh yeah. Hot chocolate, chapstick, canned meat. All right, to-go peanut butter, you get the idea. Deodorant, laundry pods, body wash. All right, so there's a list out there. If you feel like that's something you'd like to do, just feel free to grab one of those, and we'll make sure we get it to the right place. I'm going to echo what Dr. Mike said. Look at this. This is awesome. Anybody still have some of these outstanding? You didn't bring yours in yet? Yeah, just a few hands here and there. Next Sunday is the last day. We got to be able to get them to the kids by Christmas. So if you're still wanting to do that, just feel free. We've got a few more boxes out there. If we run out of boxes, just stick them in a Walmart bag, and we'll make sure we still get them to the right place, all right? So thank you for your partnership with that. There's also some other announcements in here looking ahead. Make sure you're here this Wednesday night, et cetera, et cetera. You can kind of read this for yourself. One final thing I do want to say is last month, you guys blessed myself and my family in amazing ways. Every Sunday, and you kind of spoiled me, with it, to be honest. Every Sunday in October was kind of a different little feature of pastor appreciation. But here's the thing I want to say. I'm thankful for you. Yes, I'm thankful for the cards and the encouraging words and the gifts. I'm so thankful for all of that. You have no idea. Overwhelmed would be an understatement. But the beautiful thing is you guys help us to know that we're appreciated every Sunday, every month, and every week. And I just can't express how thankful we are. So if you'll have me, I'll stick around a while, okay? Amen. Amen. All right, you ready for the word? Let's get going. All right. I was actually thinking that I might start a new series today, but then I started looking ahead and I realized, no, we're getting ready to go into the Thanksgiving and Christmas holidays, and I'm going to be turning over a new calendar year. And so I was like, no. I don't want that to be disjointed and interrupted by, you know, different kinds of topical messages. So beginning of the new year, we're going to be looking at a series on how to hear God's voice, or hearing God's voice in a noisy world. The different ways that God can and does communicate His word and His will to us. I think that's important, right? So we'll be starting that after the new year. And so in the meantime, God has laid these ideas and these thoughts and these messages, if you will, on my heart. And the one for today, I just couldn't get away from this. And that's this idea. And here's something that we know, so just bear with me. Hopefully it won't be just a repeat, but that God will speak something new and fresh to us today, right? But I can't get away from this thought that there is power in prayer. Oh, well, that's elementary, Pastor. We've heard that 100 times. bear with me. We're going to try to flesh it out a little bit. But there's power in prayer. Think of that. Think of that. When our situations, finite as they are, and please understand, I don't ever want to minimize anyone's circumstance. I don't ever want to say, well, your situation is just so small, because it might actually be really, really big. But in the scheme of everything, when compared to the eternity and greatness of God, no matter what we might go through on a day-to-day basis, it's nothing. It's like that when compared to the greatness of God. And so when our situations come in contact with the greatness of an almighty God, we can say there is power in prayer. You see, I'm convinced of something. Now, I may be wrong, but I don't know. We'll see. But I'm convinced that everybody prays. The atheist, I believe they pray. The agnostic, I believe they pray. The issue is sometimes it's what prompts that prayer. I remember some time ago in the travels that I travel quite a bit, and so one of the travels that I had me on a flight from Washington, D.C. From D.C., I landed in Ghana, and then from Ghana to Johannesburg, South Africa, South Africa up to Malawi, Africa. And everything was good going. Coming back, I was great from Malawi down to Johannesburg, Johannesburg back to Ghana, and then from Ghana to D.C., yeah, we're flying along and everything is fine. All of a sudden, we just started getting just that plane, you know. Just started rocking a little bit. And you could tell, I said, man, something's getting ready. This is not just your ordinary turbulence. I mean, it was rocking and rolling. So much so, you know you're in for a situation on an airplane like that when the flight attendants sit down. I mean, those folk, the plane just, and they just up serving and, no. Where they didn't even bother to go to their special flight attendant seat. They, wherever they were, they sat down. If there was an empty seat near them, they sat down and put on their seat. I was like, oh, we're getting ready to hit it now. And sure enough, we're flying along in that bumpy, and then all of a sudden, boom, I don't know what, I found out later what it was. At the time, I had no idea. It was as if a great big fist just went pow and hit that airplane. It was interesting because they were trying to finish up a meal service, and so they had all of these carts in the aisle. And there, you know, it was people, and they just got their bags in front of them and all this kind of stuff. And anything that was not nailed down, and I kid you not, anything that was not nailed down, including those heavy carts, bam, hit the ceiling of that airplane. And then they came crashing down. There was food and plates and luggage. And anybody that wasn't buckled into their seat, they hit the ceiling too. People, I laugh at it now. I was not laughing at the time. Actually, one fella had gone into the restroom. Yeah, I know. And the only reason I knew that is because once we finally came out of all of that bumping and stuff, this guy opened, came out of the restroom. His eyes were as big as saucers. I don't have any idea what happened to him in that restroom. But he came out and he said, he must have hit the ceiling in there. I don't have any idea. It was really, really scary. I kind of laugh at it now because it was some time ago, and, you know, time has a way of doing that. But at the time, it was not funny. It wasn't funny at all. Matter of fact, there was one lady who immediately started vomiting. There was one lady who had a panic attack. She hyperventilated, went in and had a panic attack. One of those carts actually came down and hit one of the flight attendants on her leg, and the ambulance had to meet us there when we landed. It was terrible. But do you know what happened? As soon as that initial boom took place, you could hear all over that airplane people, Jesus, 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 Jesus. I don't know if them people were saved or not, but they were praying. You see? Or you take the, the soldier pinned down under enemy fire. You telling me he ain't going to pray? Come on. So I'm convinced that all of us pray, but the challenge becomes what drives us to prayer. Is it that we only pray when we find ourselves in difficulty or trouble? You see, as believers, we understand that we need to consider prayer as a first option and not a last resort. I would say it this way. Let's invite Jesus. Let's invite God to work among us on the blueprint phase and not the remodel plan. Hello. Did you get that? And so the question is not, do people pray? And the question is not, is there power in prayer? The question is, what drives us to prayer? I want to read a passage of Scripture. We're talking about this idea of that there's power in prayer and that God answers our prayer. Hear what Jeremiah chapter 33 says. I want to read this from the Amplified Version. This is really cool the way this spells it out. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. There's power in prayer, remember? Okay, call to me. This is God speaking. Call to me and I will answer. Call to me and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things, fenced in things, hidden things, things that you don't know about, things that you can't distinguish, things that you may not even recognize, have knowledge about, or even understand. Call to me and I will answer. He will answer. And when he answers, it will be with great and mighty things. Right? Hang on, we're going to get there. Have here a flashlight. Now, the designers, whoever came up with not just this particular one, but the whole idea, the whole concept of a flashlight. The idea and the purpose behind a flashlight is to be able to bring light into a dark situation, right? And so that's the purpose. It's designed for that specific purpose. That is its function. Now, you could use it as a paperweight. You could use it as a club. But that's not its purpose. That's not why it's designed. It's designed to bring light into darkness. But here's the issue. In spite of how wonderfully it's designed, the engineers who put all of this particular one together, masterful job, but its purpose is unfulfilled without a power source. See, I can, it's not going to work because there's no power source. And so, I insert the batteries, the power source. This one has a cool feature. It's got that. And then you push it once more and it's a little brighter. And then this is the one I like. But what allows the flashlight's function and purpose and intent to be realized is the power source. But even when the power source is involved, even when there's power going to it, until I push that little button, even though the power's there, until I push that little button and activate that power, its purpose can't be realized. And so I would say that our lives have specific purpose. And behind the fulfillment of the purpose of God in our lives is the power of God, the working of God among us. And what is it that releases and activates God's power to do what he wants to do in our lives that we might fulfill our purpose? That is the activation button of prayer. Call to me, and I will answer and show you great and mighty things. So here's the question. All right, we understand. There's power in prayer. We understand that prayer is that act of faith on our part that releases God's ability to work and fulfill his plan in our life. We get that. But here's the question. If there is power in prayer, or since there's power in prayer, what about those times and those situations when it seems like God isn't answering our prayer? That's a good question, actually. We pray for healing, and they stay sick. Let's just be honest. We pray for deliverance, and they stay bound. We pray for salvation, and they don't get saved. So somehow we've got to reconcile this notion and this idea and this belief that there's power in prayer, and sometimes it seems that God's not answering. Well, I think there's a solution to that. Here's the answer. You ready? Here's the answer to why it seems that God is not working. Here's the answer, the reconciliation between the awesomeness and the power of prayer and the fact that sometimes it doesn't seem to work. Here's the answer. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. You see, sometimes God will answer in a different way. We've already established, call to me and I will answer. We know he's answering, and we know that his ways are higher than our ways, and so we're beginning to understand that, yes, the answer will always come. It just may not come in the way that we thought it would come. God's always answering. You might pray, here's how it might work. You might pray for provision, and God gives you a promise. Hear that. We might pray for provision, and God will give you a promise instead. Oh, God, I need you to provide for me in so many ways. Let me give you this promise. I will never leave you. Oh, God, I just need provision. I just need you to do this, whatever this is, need you to do. Provide for me in this way. And he comes along and he says, my grace is sufficient for you. See, he's answered you. Just maybe not the way you thought. His ways are higher than our way. Or we pray for a way out, and instead he gives us a word. Or we pray for sustenance, and he gives you a seed instead. His ways are higher than ours. His ways are beyond our understanding. See, here's the thing. Anybody like to take tests? Those of you that are still in school, do you like tests? I never really did, to be honest. Now, I agree, I never really liked. But if I was going to have to take a test, you know what kind of test I wanted? I wanted multiple choice. I mean, you got a chance. You can at least guess. You know what I didn't like? Fill in the blank. I mean, you want to know how dumb you are? Fill in the blank. No clue. I'm wondering sometimes if we just ought to just write Jesus in every blank, because he really is the answer, right? But I'm wondering sometimes if we don't do that with, we give God a multiple choice test question. Okay, now God, I need you to do something for me, and it's up to you how you want to do it. Do you want to do A, B, or C? And he says, D, none of the above. I don't, see, God doesn't do multiple choice. He does fill in the blank. Huh? God, I want you to provide for me this way. I want you to answer my prayer request this way. And he says, no, you're not going to limit me to what you want. I'm going to fill in the blank with what I know. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. You see, he's always answering. And so I want to throw something out there, all right? Just bear with me. There's no such thing as an unanswered prayer. Let that sink in. Call unto me, and I will answer. There's no such thing. For the child of God, there's no such thing as an unanswered prayer. But that really doesn't help me much, preacher, because I've got all of these unresolved things, and they seem unanswered. You see, he's always answering. And I want us to look at it this way. He's going to answer us in one of four simple ways. You ready? Number one. If you're writing things down, write this one down. Number one. If the request is wrong, God will say no. I mean, even though no is an answer. I don't like no. It's interesting. You know, children, when they're small, usually the first word that a baby will say is either da-da or mama. And it's all depending on which parent is in their face saying da-da-da-da-da-da-da or ma-ma-ma. And usually the second phrase is no. Why? Because they hear it all the time. No, don't do no. No, 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 no. And so they begin to parrot it back to no. I need you to eat your vegetables. No. But no is an answer, right? No is an answer. It may not be the answer you're looking for, but it's an answer. And so if the request is wrong, God will say no. Because his ways are higher than your ways. And because he loves you, sometimes he needs to say no. You see, if our requests are overzealous, for example, God might say no. I said, did I say something that sounded like S-I-R-I? Yeah. I'm glad you liked that. That's right. You just never know. I'm sorry. Could you repeat it? So if our requests are overzealous, he just might say no. Matthew chapter 17, verse 14 kind of gives us an example of this. Okay, Jesus and his inner circle, Peter, James, and John, they had been up on a mountain with Jesus. The other disciples were down in the valley trying to cast the devil out of a boy unsuccessfully. You guys remember this story? Right. So Jesus and his inner circle, Peter, James, and John, they went up on a mountain with Jesus, and it was awesome. They're having a prayer meeting. They're having revival. It was an amazing thing. And the Bible says that Jesus' clothes just began to shine. I mean, it was just an amazing transfiguration took place. And these guys were like, yes, this is awesome. Jesus, let's build a 3 tabernacles. One for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. That would be awesome. And Jesus didn't even give them the time. He didn't even say anything. He just said, God, can you take care of this? And the Father himself had to speak and say, no! This is my son. Only listen to him. What are you doing trying to elevate Moses and Elijah to the same status as my son? Have you lost your mind? No, we're not going to do that. They were overzealous. I don't question their motives. I think their motives were awesome. They were excited. They were experiencing the presence. Like, yeah, woo, glory to God. Let's build 3 tabernacles. No, that's overzealous. We're not doing that. No. And so sometimes if our requests are overzealous, he just might say no. Or if our requests are selfish, he might say no. There's another, these guys, you got to love these guys. Jesus is with these same disciples again, and he's telling them, look, guys, in the days ahead, I'm going to suffer, and I'm going to die, I'm going to be buried, I will be resurrected, but man, it's going to get rough over these next few days. That's the setting here, all right? And so in this context, Mark chapter 10 says this, and James and John came over to him and said, teacher, we want you to do us a favor. So Jesus said, okay, what's your request? And they said, when you sit on your glorious throne, we want to sit in places of honor, right next to you. One on the right hand and one on the left hand. Can you do that? That'd be a good favor for you to do for us, Jesus. And Jesus said to them, you don't even know what you're asking for. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering that I am about to drink? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism of suffering that I must be baptized with? And they still don't get it. Listen to what they said. Oh, yes, we can do that. And so essentially Jesus just said, no. There's 10 other guys who've walked faithfully with me. Why on earth do you think such a selfish request is in order? See, we're not going to be talking about that right now. Those things shall be established, but no. No, we're not doing that. So sometimes if our requests are selfish, he just might say no. Or how about this one? If our requests are just plain crazy. How many of you know Christians can pray crazy things from time to time? They can just be crazy and ridiculous stuff we pray for. And here's an example of that one. Luke chapter 9, verses 53 to 55. But the people of the village, this particular village in this passage, the people of the village did not welcome Jesus because he was on his way to Jerusalem. And when James and John, there's those same two guys, bless their hearts. And so when James and John saw this, they said to Jesus, Lord, should we call down fire from heaven and consume them? Because they didn't welcome Jesus. They had this crazy idea that it was right for them to call down fire and consume them. And Jesus is like, no, we're not going to be doing such a crazy thing as that. For the Son of Man didn't come to burn up people with fire, but he came to save that which was lost. No, that's crazy. What kind of crazy talk is that? And so he said, no. Thanks for the offer, but no, we're not doing that. And so if our request is wrong, God will say no. Well, what about if the timing is wrong? Because, you know, sometimes you can actually have the right request in the wrong timing. And so when the request is wrong, he'll say no. But when the timing is wrong, ready, he'll say whoa. Whoa. You see, no is final. Whoa just means wait. It's the difference between the stop button and the pause button. You're on the right track, just not yet. But see, the problem with that is we don't like to wait. I say we, I mean me. You see, sometimes the timing is wrong, even if the thing you're praying for is right. Here's the thing. There are times when the plan and the destiny that God has for you, you may be ready, but the atmosphere in your destiny isn't ready yet. I remember, I travel a lot, and I remember one time I was flying, and I was scheduled to land in Atlanta. It's always an uncertainty traveling into and out of Atlanta in the spring. You just never know, storms. So we're flying, and we're in the airspace for Atlanta, and we're circling, and they come on the, you know, we're just gonna, we got us in a holding pattern. There's a storm that's passing through Atlanta
right now. We should be on the ground in about 30 minutes. Which means absolutely nothing. And I'm not being critical. They're doing their best, you know. But there were really severe storms, lightning. It had actually knocked the power out in the airport. It was just a massive storm. And we circled and we circled, and it wasn't no 30 minutes, and it wasn't 40 minutes, like an hour later. We're starting to, you know, we're getting close on fuel. And so they said, they've diverted us to another airport. And so we land in Huntsville, Alabama. You see, my destination was Atlanta. And I eventually made it to Atlanta, by the way. But my atmosphere wasn't ready for my arrival. And so God said, whoa. The destination is right. The timing is not right. If you try to barge forward outside of my timing, you're going to be trying to land this plane in the middle of a lightning storm. And that's not safe. Whoa. Just hold on. You've got the right idea, but you're off in your timing. And so sometimes when we pray and nothing seems to be happening, he may not be saying no. He might be saying, wait. Just wait. See, God is at work in the waiting. God is not only about preparing you, he's about preparing the place and the destiny that he has for you. Just wait. The Bible says, they that wait on the Lord shall have their strength renewed. You think you're ready. You're too tired. You're ill-prepared. You're unequipped. You're not ready. Just wait. Just wait. Remember in Acts chapter 1, Jesus told his disciples, he said, I want you to go to Jerusalem. And by the way, it wasn't just the 12. And it wasn't just the 120 who ended up in the upper room praying. Some estimates say it was as many as 500 followers of Christ that were there when he ascended and told them, I want you to go to Jerusalem and wait for your provision of power. There's a world to win, but not now. Wait on my provision for you. And out of that 500, we read in Acts chapter 2 that 120 took him at his word. How'd you like to have been one of the 380 who didn't wait? Man, those guys in there, whoa, man, you should have been there. The Holy Ghost was poured. It was what? Well, I had something to do. I couldn't be bothered with waiting. I wonder just what kind of provision from God we have missed. I wonder what kind of unfulfilled destinies might still be out there because we refuse to take wait as an answer. Oh God, help us to understand that even when you say, whoa, you're still answering our prayer. So if the request is wrong, he might say no. If the timing is wrong, he will say whoa. If you are wrong, what, me? Yeah. If you are wrong, he might say grow. You've got some maturing to do. Again, you're on the right track, but there's some maturing that needs to take place. There's some experiences that you need to take part in. You need to grow. So how do we grow? Here you go. You ready? Quite often, or most often, the way that God will choose to grow us is by bringing into our lives people and circumstances that stretch us and challenge us. People and circumstances. You see, here's the challenge that we have with this. Whenever we're looking for people and circumstances to invite into our life, generally speaking, we're going to look for people who will affirm us where we are instead of growing us where we need to be. And so because so many of us adopt that, and by the way, that's a sure sign of immaturity, and the only cure for immaturity is maturity. Right? The only cure for not having gone through things is to go through things. The only cure for not being grown up is to grow up. Right? And because we would prefer to have people and circumstances in our life that affirm where we are instead of pushing us to where He wants us. When those things do come, when those challenging people and those challenging circumstances come, when someone comes into your life and they point out things or they stretch you in certain areas and in certain ways, we want to call them haters when really they might be helpers. Huh? Well, that's not my truth. You're just speaking hate speech into my life. No. God just might be bringing someone into your life who can stretch you and not necessarily affirm you, but stretch you and mature you and cause you to grow because He has a plan, but not like you are. You're not mature enough, and that's okay. We all have maturing to do. And so sometimes when we are the ones who are wrong, and I'm not even talking about sinful, I just mean you're not ready, you might just say, grow up. Let's put some things, let's put some people into your life who will hold you accountable and cause you to grow and mature. Listen to James chapter 5, verse 16. Ready? James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your faults to Jesus, and Jesus will pray for you that you might be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of Jesus avails much. Does anybody know I didn't read that properly? Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you might be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. You see, healing and maturity and growing up occurs in honest relationship. And so that one that holds you accountable, they don't hate you. They're helping you. Right? Because the only thing that might be keeping God from saying yes is growing up and maturing. Right? So when the request is wrong, God will say no. When the timing is wrong, God would say whoa. When we're the ones in the wrong, He would say grow. And then finally, when everything is right, you're wondering what I'm going to say on this one, God will say let's go. Let's go. You see, you've experienced the no, and you've experienced the woe, and you've experienced the grow. And how awesome is it when you hear God say, let's go. Just when you thought your season had passed, God says, let's go. Now you're ready. You've got your mind straight. You're not asking for silly, selfish, crazy things. The timing is right. You've experienced the growth that I intended for you to experience. Buckle up. Let's go. What an awesome thing when we hear God say, yes. It might take some time. It might take some no's and some woes and some grows, but get ready. When all is in line, when everything is right, God will say, let's go. You see, sometimes if you want to go through, we might just have to pray through. In case you don't know this, God's not concerned with the snapping of your finger. God, like that. Snap all day. Snap all you want to. It's not on our timetable. He's not bound to do what we want him to do. As his children, we understand that sometimes his loving, amazing, great and mighty answer is no. You know, I look back, and I don't know, I'm just going to, I look back at some of the young ladies that I had as my girlfriend early on, and I was convinced, I'm coming over to my wife here, I was convinced that that one, well, that's God's will for me. Say yes, God. And sometimes he would say, grow. And then when I would go, I would realize, ooh, ooh, ooh. Or he would say, no, because it was silly and it was foolish and it was out of his will for my life. And then one day, he said, let's go. Amen. And that's, you know, that's kind of a lighthearted way to say that. But understand, man, only perspective and maturity will allow you to look back at your life and thank God for the no. You think it's all you need. You think it's exactly what you want. You think it must be God's will because you're into it so much. And he loves you enough to say no. You don't understand what I have prepared for you. You don't understand the plan I have for your life. I'm going to say no. So what does it look like when God says yes? Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. You know it. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you future and hope. That I can do. What else does it look like? It looks like Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Don't worry about anything. So you heard no. Don't worry about that. So you're waiting. Don't worry about that. So you're in a time of growing and maturing, and you're thinking that it surely must be time by now. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he's done. If you do this, if you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your heart and mind as you live in Christ Jesus. You want to know what the yes feels like? Peace of God. I am at peace because God has said yes in my life. Hey, look, I have no idea where you are. I have no idea the struggles that you may have experienced or may even now be experiencing when you pray. Hear this. Call to me and I will answer you. Not I might. I will answer you. But understand this, because I love you and because I know far more than you do, I might just say no. And when he says no, he'll give you peace to live with the no. I might just say, whoa. I might just say, you know what, wait. You're on the right track. But I've got some work to do to prepare you and to prepare your destiny to meet together. Just wait. And in the waiting, draw strength from me. And in the waiting, learn to trust me. Anybody can trust him when all he says is yes. When he says wait, and it seems uncertain, and it seems unsure, we learn to develop a deep, deep trust. Nothing can shake. And so when he says, wait, I'm okay with that. I can be at peace. When he tells me it's time for me to grow up, then I'm not going to look at those that God has brought into my life, and I'm not going to look at the circumstances that God is allowing into my life as distractions and it's things that are against his will, but I'm going to understand that in his sovereignty, he uses iron to sharpen iron. And he even uses sandpaper to sharpen iron. And so that sandpaper, that person or that thing that's in your life that just seems to always be rubbing you the wrong way, he's sharpening you for a specific destiny. He can't use you as a butter knife. He has to use you as a sharpened scalpel. And so just grow and mature. And then there'll be times when all is in line and he'll say, yes, that's my plan for you. That's my destiny for you. That's my purpose for you. Yes, let's go. What an awesome thing when he says, let's go. But I believe God is wanting to bring us to a place where it's just as awesome to hear him say no, because we recognize his sovereignty. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together. Let's stand together. Lord, only you know. Only you know the struggle that some in this room are having. Lord, for some, they have prayed for years. Years over certain situations. And they have convinced themselves, and the enemy has convinced them, that you've not heard, and that your word is not true, and that you're uninterested, and that their prayers don't really make a difference. Today, God, I pray. Today, God, may your people hear. When we call, you answer. And you answer in ways that are fitting with your sovereignty and with your love for us. And so whether we hear a yes, or whether we hear a no, or whether we hear a wait, whatever it is, God, may we recognize your amazing and supreme love for us. Lord, all of us want to hear the yes in life. But Lord, bring us to a place where we equally embrace the no's and the seasons and opportunity for growth and maturity. Lord, today, remind that one who has almost given up praying about that one thing. Remind them today, the moment they prayed, you heard. And you started preparing the atmosphere to accomplish your will. Lord, remind us today that although we live in time and space, you exist in eternity. And so for you, a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. And so it makes no difference if we prayed for 10 years. For you, it's the blink of an eye. God, remind us today that you're a God who loves, that you're a God who hears, that you're a God who answers. Lord, may we be renewed in our commitment to seek you first and not last. May we be renewed in our understanding that you are at work, even in the things that we can't see. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. As we close out, I'm wondering today if there's anyone that would just say, and I'm not trying to embarrass anyone, I just want to give us an opportunity to be transparent and receive help if we need. If there's anyone here today and you would just say, Pastor, you spoke right directly to my heart. God's word is piercing me today, and I realize that I'd almost given up, but today I'm encouraged to press forward. Today I'm encouraged to push through. Today I'm encouraged to understand God's word in a new way, and I just want to receive prayer that I can embrace that and be changed by that in the days ahead. Anybody just want to slip up a hand? And yeah, there's hands. Amen. Amen. Let me pray a prayer with you and for you. Lord, for these that have specifically raised a hand today, there's something in what we've said or what we've done, or even in spite of it, Lord, there's something that is gripping their hearts today to remind them that you haven't forsaken, that you're not ignoring, but God, you're answering. And you're answering in ways that are consistent with your plan and your will for our life, and may we be at peace with that today. Lord, for those that may be hearing a no, Lord, grant them your peace. and your understanding on how to align themselves with the will of God. Lord, for those that might be hearing a wait, God, we pray that you would renew them and strengthen them in the waiting, that they would learn to trust you. Lord, for those that might be in need of maturity and growth, Lord, bring people and circumstances into their life to mature them to the place where they and their destiny are prepared to meet. Lord, for those that are hearing a yes from you today, Lord, we rejoice. And we thank you that through all of the no's and through all of the waiting and through all of the growth, Lord, you're now bringing your people to hear a yes. But through it all, God, through it all, we thank you for your peace that keeps us and sustains us. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, I bless you guys today. May you walk in the strength of the Spirit this week. May you enjoy the provision of God like you've never known. May you have insight into his word that you've never come to know before. May God bless you in abundant ways, and may that blessing then be a blessing to others. May God grant you opportunities to see your life impact the life of someone else and the boldness to see it through. Amen? Amen. Bless you guys today. Love on each other on your way out the door. Amen.